You're listening to Trinity Fremont's Sermon Podcast, where you can hear God's Word preached each and every week. Our purpose at Trinity is to learn, love, lead, to reflect the light of Jesus. We pray that as you listen to this week's sermon, you'll be encouraged and equipped to live your life in such a way that others would see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven.
So like I said, we continue in our First Peter series this weekend, a letter to these new Christians, some of the very first Christians ever, kind of up north. Here's a map to remind you where Peter is writing this letter to. Right under the Black Sea, top right corner, under the Black Sea, Asia, Bithynia, Galatia, Cappadocia, Pontus, all of these new Christians, many of them who came to faith when they were in Jerusalem on Pentecost and heard Peter's first sermon. You remember the one that 3,000 believers, 3,000 came to faith that day. And remember, it's a letter of encouragement because they're new Christians. And they're struggling a little bit. Now remember, in chapter 1, we started with Peter encouraging them and tells them about they have a living hope in Jesus. And this living hope, Jesus, this living hope promises an inheritance for them. And it's waiting for them in heaven, and it's being guarded by their faith. An inheritance that is described three different ways. Let's see how good you can remember 2 weeks ago. What was the first one? Imperishable, undefiled, unfading. Pretty good. Okay? Imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Remember those, right? That's how he describes heaven. Well, last week, Pastor Gerber continued on with chapter 1, and he reminded us of a few more things that Peter had for those new Christians. That being made holy is a big deal. And being made holy is first and foremost a gift. But through it all, there is tension. Remember that? There's tension. There's tension between law and gospel. There's tension between being a saint and also a sinner. Tension that is broken through only one thing, faith. Through faith, we are made free. So this week, we skip ahead to chapter 2 and actually towards the end of chapter 2. Next week, we'll go to the beginning of chapter 2. It's just the way the lectionary set it up. Don't worry about it, but don't be confused next week. But anyway, what does Peter have to say today at the end of chapter 2? Well, I'll summarize this message with three words: die, endure, live. Now, at first glance, you might think, well, you really should flip that. But no, you'll see how Peter's going to help us understand this today. We'll actually begin towards the end of chapter 2 at verse 24, where this dying thing is mentioned by Peter. Peter tells these new Christians that the first thing they need to do as followers of Jesus is to die to sin. Verse 24, he himself, Jesus, bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin, which brings me to a question I ask quite often in these sermons. How's that going for you? Dying to sin. You might remember maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago, many of us brought sins up here. You remember that? We didn't kill them, we buried them. Do you remember that? We buried those sins. We'll talk about tension. Not only were we trying to have those sins die, but we buried them, but if you're anything like me, I've sure wanted to uncover them again and get them back in my life, because that's what the world tells me to do. But Peter is saying you have to die to those sins. More tension, right? So, how will you know when you are successful dying to sin, even if it's just a little? Dying to sin. Well, this is where endure comes in, verse 19. For this is a gracious thing: when mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. I've got a good friend, an amazing friend. Some of you know him. His name is Gary Teese. Most people refer to him as Missionary Gary. He's been here before. Well, during the prime of his life, he was a banker. He was a banker with only a high school education. Up here in Mapleton, Iowa, it's just up the river a ways and just a little bit on the other side of the river to the east, Mapleton, Iowa. Without a high school education, and the owner of the bank just gave him a break, and he worked hard. And he kept working hard. Before long, he became very successful. So successful, he bought farms, plural. He bought farms. But the Holy Spirit kept tugging on his heart this whole time. And eventually he stopped resisting, and he knew without a shadow of a doubt that God was leading him to share Jesus, not just with people in Mapleton, Iowa, but with the whole world. And he started something called Mission Central. Started on one of those farms that he purchased, and it was right across the road from where he lives. If you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. He converted a hog farm to become the hub of LCMS missionaries. They almost all come through Mission Central now. Here's a picture of the converted hog barn that is now a beautiful little chapel. Look at all those volunteers. There's some missionaries there. Missionary Gary's right, he's in the back, white shirt, right under that stained glass window. Maybe you see him. He's 84 now. His wife, Maxine, passed away just over 2 years ago. However, retirement does not seem to be in his vocabulary. There's a phrase that Gary uses that is certainly not in his vocabulary, and it has everything to do with the word endure from Peter today. You see, when you first meet Gary, sit down in that chapel that used to be full of hogs and hog manure, he will say something loud and he will say it clear. You're not normal. Being a Christian is not normal. Shouldn't be normal. Not in this world. Well, imagine being a brand new Christian, one of the very first Christians ever. Ever heard, ever seen. Definitely, they would not have been seen as normal. These new Christians that Peter's writing to, preaching to, about 30 years after Jesus ascended to be with the Father, is when he wrote this letter to them. And they've been struggling up there to the north. And because of not being normal, not living of the world, they stood out like a sore thumb. Stood out in the crowd. And they suffered because of their faith for not being normal. But this is what we're called to do, brothers and sisters. Stick out like a sore thumb. Stand out in the crowd. Not be normal. Next week, Pastor Gerber probably won't, but he might. He might use King James when he reads 1 Peter 2:9. He's looking at it now, maybe. No, he's not. He's doing something else.
I'm not using my King James.
But in the King James, these new Christians are not only not called not normal, they're called peculiar. Here it is. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. This is what he's telling those new Christians up there. God's people are described as being peculiar, sticking out like a sore thumb. And when they do stick out like a sore thumb, well, better be ready. Ready to endure. Like Peter said in verse 19, endure sorrows while suffering unjustly. In America, not so sure we even understand what he's talking about. Maybe. Not to the degree that they were suffering. In America, we seem to take for granted our religious freedom. Freedom to worship the one true God, creator, redeemer, sanctifier. There's an organization called Open Doors. It's existed since 1955. It's a Christian mission organization, and it's dedicated to supporting and strengthening Christians all around the world, especially those that are being truly persecuted. Research for Open Doors 2026 watch list reveals that over 388 million Christians around the world suffer persecution or discrimination. It means they experience some kind of hostility as a result of proclaiming the name of Jesus and living out their faith. The Pew Research Center has found that Christians are harassed in more places than in any other religion. And Open Doors research has shown that the number of countries where Christians suffer high and extreme levels of persecution has almost doubled in 30 years. The way Open Doors defines Christian persecution is any hostility experienced as a result of proclaiming the name of Jesus. Now, that hostility might look different to these millions of people, of believers, who face persecutions day in, day out. Some experience rejection or isolation from their family and friends and communities. Maybe some of you have experienced that, proclaiming your faith. Others, they face violent abuse, imprisonment, and even death. Likely not any of you. Not in this country. Yet? Is there a yet? So a question. When was the last time that you endured sorrows while suffering unjustly, suffering because you say you are a Christian, or simply living like a Christian? When's the last time? Maybe never. It's possible. According to Peter, gracious is how he describes suffering for your faith in Jesus. Gracious. He says, for this is a gracious thing, when mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. And it's an inward motivation, a divine influence on the heart that is reflected in your lives. It's the power of God's grace within you that enables you to endure when you need to endure. Not that a lot of us have to endure much here in this place. Martin Luther wrote about this topic. It's in one of his works, volume 30. He said, when we suffer for the Lord's sake, we should suffer willingly and gladly, leaving the judgment to God. When God sees this endurance, he does not just tolerate it. He sees it as something beautiful and favorable because it is a work of his own grace in you. Now, he gives an illustration. It's a really unique illustration. He uses something very menial, something that men wouldn't have been caught doing because it wasn't their job to do. He uses a father cleaning the diaper of a child as his example of grace coming out of your heart. Because undoubtedly, if a buddy would have seen him washing a diaper of a child, he'd have been ridiculed, I promise you. Yes, even the little things, Luther says, the little things make God and all the angels smile, Luther says. You don't have to die for your faith to make God smile. Although many Christians do die for their faith. You see, the inward divine influence of God's grace in your hearts brings faith alive for all to hear and for all to see. So there's our last word, live. Verse 24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. You see, Christ endured all the sufferings and all the pain for you so that you might live. Christ's death was for your sins, not his own. Because of the cross, you are dead to sin. So you can live a new life, a life filled with what Peter describes as righteousness. A life that won't look normal, but a life that reflects God's kingdom, not the world, reflects in simple ways, reflects in complicated ways. That's what we're to do here at Trinity. Reflect the light of Jesus. We just have to follow his example. Verse 21. For to this you have been called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his footsteps. Called to live out the grace that God has placed in your hearts. A grace that won't seem normal to the world, but that's okay. Continue to walk, friends, in his footsteps. It's your calling. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.